Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us this week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to talk with the head lacrosse coach at Servite High School. That's Tom O'Leary. And we'll also visit with Nikki Merritt, one of the great outstanding track and field athletes at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. Really doing some great things again this season after having a great junior season a year ago. But we're going to kick off the show by welcoming in an old friend of ours, and that is Steve Fryer with the Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com. And we kind of want to wrap up a little bit of this Trinity League school year, because it's been a great one for the Trinity once again. And Steve, you're one of the ones that covered it as well all season long. We thank you for joining us once again.
Yeah, time keeps flying when you're having fun, doesn't it?
It really does. And it really has been a fun season. It's been another great one. We started things off. We got a national football champion out of Modern Day. Obviously, you have a chance to kind of look back and have a little separation from that football season. But can we even quantitate what a special football team that was and kind of in the history of Orange County football?
You know, it was an amazing group. And one of the fun things about, you know, when you hang around a team a little bit like I get to do, is this team had an interesting personality. As Modern Day coach Bruce Rawlinson would say, he'd get like really worried about the guys before the game. They'd be kind of like, you know, aloof and a little distant. But once that ball met foot and the kickoff happened, those guys turned into maniacs, and they were animals, and they just went after it. And they not only wanted to win, they wanted to win convincingly and really, really show their superiority. So it was an interesting group of guys. And it was really a tight-knit group of dudes, too. And my favorite quote from the whole thing about these fellas was the woman who's in charge of faith formation and things like that over at Modern Day. Her name is Helen Steves. She's an angel who walks among us. She's one of my favorite people. And she said, not only does this team play well together, Steve, they also pray well together. And that said a lot to me about the personalities on this team. They competed really hard, but they had this sort of reflecting, you know, the faith of the school and that sort of mission, too. Not just winning games, but they're also like good people. And she thought that they were a spiritually strong group as well. And to me, that said a lot to me.
And that's interesting, because I think that really counts for something. I think when you talk about, you know, there's always those, you know, those buzzwords of chemistry and all that. But, you know, if you can quantitate chemistry, which I really think you can, some people think you can, I think you can. And then you're right. This team really liked being around each other. And I think that really counts for something.
Yeah. And I think when you're at a Catholic school, you know, how you reflect that in the way you go about your business, winning games and things like that. And you retain the fact that you're not, when you're playing for a Catholic school, you're not just representing your team, but you're representing something much, much larger. And when young people are able to do that and the way that they go about their business on the athletic field or the court or whatever, and you still are representing what your school is supposed to stand for, that's important. And apparently, from what Helen said, and, you know, she found that to be so true.
And we both know from covering the Trinity, right, all the teams in this league, that you know, the faith aspect is really the first thing that every coach and every athletic director talks about. That's the basis on which they build everything upon.
And, you know, when we see some of the divisions between the schools, you know, some of the rivalries, you know, especially, guys, some of the stuff you know that happens on message boards and, you know, Facebooks and whatever about Servite versus Modern Day and some of the animosity that can show up there. But, you know, every school in the Trinity League, you know, Orange Lutheran not being the Catholic school in the group, but every school in the Trinity League has more in common than they have differences. And those commonalities need to be celebrated and emphasized now more than ever, perhaps.
It's so true. I mean, every time I do an interview with somebody, I say the great part about being in the Trinity League is you can pray, and you know your opponent is going to pray with you before the game. That's kind of a cool thing.
You know, and I've seen a lot more. I've seen plenty of public schools that do a post game prayer or something like that. I was at one the other day, and I thought, well, that's pretty neat, you know. And hopefully nobody gets upset about that, because, you know, whether you're of a faith background or not, those guys are still doing the right thing out there. They're trying to give thanks to what they believe is a larger thing. So that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, it's not just any school. It's modern day, right? So modern day always has a target on its back. Impressive to me was how they went about their business all season long, right? And just dominated each and every team from beginning to end. I mean, there was nobody even close to them throughout most of the season. It was almost like a cakewalk season for this team. That's how talented they were.
Yeah, you know, Bosco, of course, was, you know, their big competition out there, and they did pretty well against Bosco twice, and so there's a lot of so much going on with that team. You know, Jeepers, you know, JT Daniels, have we ever seen a more college-ready quarterback? Even though he's just a junior, now, of course, he's a senior moving on to USC already. And it looks like he's going to compete for that job.
Sooner,
you know, pretty darn soon. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the most spectacular receivers we've ever seen come through Orange County. Wonderful offensive line anchored by the great Alabama-bound left tackle Tommy Brown. Aluleo in the front lines there, you know, a great group of guys at linebackers, defensive back. I mean, you know, Solomon back there at linebacker, mm-hmm. you know, got hurt a little bit there at the end of the year. But just so many wonderful players on that team, you know, Mace Spuna on the defensive side of things, Stephen Robbins back there, Jeepers. There was just so many, such a wealth of talent, you know, all up and down things. Greatest group of receivers I've seen, you know, not just Amon-Ra St. Brown, but, you know, Nico Remigio was so good. C.J. Parks, boy, he would have been all-county first team if he was more of a target than, you know, at another school. But so many other great players. And, you know, we had some great players, too, you know, not just a modern day, but, you know, over at Jay Sarum, Abdul Malik McLean was just an amazing defensive end, just a terror on the outside. You know, Malone Mataley of Santa Margarita was great. Gosh, there was just so many great players all over the place. You know, Robinson over the quarterback of Jay Sarum, what a leader and really a neat young man, too. You know, Chad Magyar, the running back at Santa Margarita, was one of my favorite players.
What a year he had.
Pretty good basketball player, too, really. You know, good guy to get in there and get some thump away and get some rebounds, too. So a lot the football season was just outstanding. I had a great time covering these guys.
I guess the other big story coming out of the Trinity for football was, of course, the coaching change at Servite and the fact that Troy Thomas, which I don't think a lot of people thought would probably ever come back to Servite, came back to Servite, of course. What were your thoughts? I know we've talked about it, but now that you've had a chance to kind of reflect on it and Troy's back on campus and we see him there, it feels like a natural fit, right? It just feels like this was supposed to happen.
Yeah, it sure does. And you know, having been to Servite a couple times, covered baseball games the last couple weeks, there is a buzz on campus and a lot of excitement. Whether the chemistry teacher, the math teacher likes it or not, football sets the tone for school spirit for the rest of the year.
Absolutely.
No matter where we're talking about, from San Clemente all the way up north to La Habra, that's the way it is. And so having football be strong is really important, especially in Servite, which, you know, kind of is a Servite, is a football school in a way. And, you know, of course, they had some tough times. Scott Meyer's a great guy. He just recently became the head football coach at the university. Scott Meyer, an eventual replacement for Troy Thomas when Thomas went back to Crestview a few years back. But Thomas being back, I think if they start winning again, and it's going to be more difficult because the Trinity League is different than the league of teams that Troy Thomas joined when he became the Servite coach in 2005. It's tougher. It's a tougher group. Margarita's a little bit better now. Bosco, of course, is a lot better now with the Jason Negro having created that thing. Modern Day's back and flying high.
I think Jay Sarah's ready to pounce, too.
Jay Sarah is great. You know, Coach Harlow, Pat Harlow's got that thing cranked up. They're getting some transfers as well and some interesting names. And I understand the lower-level program, we're solid, too. Rich Fisher's, you know, he's got his legs under him now, and he's got the Santa Margarita rolling and got that thing figured out. It's going to be a tougher league of teams for Servite to compete against than it was in 2005. That being said, Troy Thomas, you know, he works some magic in 2005. He's got a lot of people at Servite who believe in him and love him and think that he can, you know, somehow come up with a formula and do it again.
Was there anything else in the fall that stood out to you?
You know what? It was just a great year all around, you know, and football. And then we went into basketball.
Yeah, that was my next was to go into basketball, right?
That was excellent, too. But, you know, Jay Sarah's cross-country team, cross-country program is really good. So they were pretty strong there. You know, girls volleyball, You know, Santa Margarita has always got a good team. Modern Day was pretty strong again. So, yeah, it was a great fall season. But, you know, with football, when you got Modern Day winning a national championship, that takes a lot of air out of the room for sports for fall. That was an amazing thing to see.
Yeah, it really was. And then you mentioned, once again, Steve Fryer joining us from the Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com. Covered Orange County sports as long as anybody. You mentioned basketball. So, right, we go right into basketball. And we know the talk is around, you know, the defending national champion, Bishop Montgomery team from up in Torrance, right? And how is Modern Day going to do? And you know, we thought Bowl Bowl was going to be part of this equation down here. And a lot of things changed. A lot of things changed for Modern Day. And they never really seemed to get on track until the very end of the season when they did get on track.
Yeah, it took a while because, you know, Bowl Bowl did leave the school in November. And that took some time for them to sort of figure out exactly what they were going to do. You know, your game plan all spring and summer around having a 7'3" guy in there, and all of a sudden they got to change things around. And, well, they did have Spencer Freeman coming back, you know, wonderful point guard. He was right. Our OC Varsity Basketball Player of the Year. He was great. Michael Wong got better as a defensive player. You know, was always a pretty good outside shooter. And then Harrison Butler just became a rebounding machine and one of the best defensive players, if not the best defensive player in Orange County, always guarding the other team's better player. And then you had some pretty good, you know, role player dudes. You know, Reagan Lundeen, you know, does a lot of the dirty work in there. The guy they call Goggles, who's always got those Kareem Abdul goggles on, Wilhelm Breidenbach, you know, he was really good too. So that team winning a CF Southern Section championship, you know, they've been so close the last couple of years and just didn't quite get through it, you know, because of Bishop Montgomery or Chino Hills getting in their way. And then they all had it together. And Spencer Freeman, he was like the JT Daniels of basketball, a quarterback on the court and a bit of a coach on the court too. He would sometimes know what the guys on the coaches on the bench were going to call before they did, you know, in terms of what offensive set we're going to run. He was really a bright player, a lot of fun to watch.
You never want to say it's a surprise when Modern Day wins a CIF championship, but I think it did surprise some people. I think it snuck up on some people. Wait a minute, Modern Day actually won, you know, CIF this year. This was not a team that was expected. It didn't seem as talented as you know, Bishop Montgomery or Sierra Canyon or even Etiwanda, some of these great teams that were out there all season long.
Not the prettiest team to look at. You know, when they walked down the court, they just looked like they kind of looked overmatched, but you know, it's not the first time, nor will it be the last, that we've seen a Gary McKnight coach team play a lot better than it looks.
And I want to say that's really the X factor, right? Coach McKnight over there, you can't underestimate what that means to have him, you know, on the sidelines and doing what he does to wills these teams sometimes to get to the point where they get to.
He's got this wonderful group of coaches, too, led by Jason Quinn, who's been his right-hand man for decades. And Jason, you know, always known as a defensive specialist coach, but he's taken over the offense the last couple of years and doing a lot more with the offense. And you win a title with that group, you know, after the Bowl Bowl departure. Jason Quinn, you know, he deserves a ton of credit for Modern Day success.
Obviously, a year ago, you know, we enjoyed the run by Rosary to a state championship, and that was a whole lot of fun watching Rich Yoon and his team do that, and it wasn't quite the same run for them this year, and we didn't seem to have that dominating girls team this year, but we had some really solid group of girls basketball teams.
Yeah, you know, Rosary had a good run there. You know, Becky Obima is really a neat player. I think that, you know, Kevin Kiernan had another nice push with his girls' teams. So I think that basically you've got some really good basketball. Again, it's really going to be interesting to see what happens with what goes on this year. You know, Kiernan's going to be back coaching at Modern Day. Had some really good younger players. Rosary's, you know, lost a lot of seniors. You know, they got punched out, and I think, in the second round in Division One. And then Modern Day, you know, was slid into the open division, and boy, that was a pretty tough go there. You know, they got to the second round. They got beat by Windward, which was the eventual champion.
Yeah, everybody got beat by Windward.
a little too tall, a little too good for everybody. But you know, just getting selected to the open division, that's pretty nice.
Quick break here on Catholic Sports. When we come back, we will have more with Steve Fryer of the Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Relevant Radio. Yeah.
underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs.
Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools. Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We continue our visit with Steve Fryer of the Orange County Register, longtime prep sports writer over there. OCVarsity.com, of course, is their great website with a lot of their great work as well. Yeah, Tom Howard over at OLU always has a pretty good program over there. So you feel like there's better times ahead, maybe for girls basketball in the Trinity.
Yeah, you know, and there's always, you know, good young players coming up, and how good freshmen are these days is just stunning to me. Yeah. Girls basketball, they're just so better schooled. I mean, year after year, it's just, you know, it's hard to believe how good these kids are.
Yeah, we got to the spring season, and you know, we're really looking forward to a great baseball season. Individually, there's not been the great, maybe some of the great players in Orange County that we've seen every year, but there's been some great teams. We've seen some great tournaments, and I guess the only one big surprise is that Modern Day had a down year, but that's allowed, you know, some other programs to come up and kind of fill that void.
Yeah, I tell you what, in baseball, Modern Day's baseball team has been struggling, but in 2 weeks, you know, in the final week of the baseball season, they play Servite. And
right.
Servite's like gunning for a playoff berth, and Modern Day's in their way. Ooh, I think Modern Day's going to want to like, make sure. I think it's going to be some good baseball right there. But, you know, you look at the Trinity League, I think an early leader perhaps for County Player of the Year is Cole Wynn at
yes.
Orange Lutheran. He is a fantastic pitcher. He can hit the ball, too. They usually bat him three or four in that order. He's going to be a first-round draft pick. I've seen him pitch. I've seen him hit. You know, every time I go, the scouts are elbow to elbow. He's really good. But Orange Lutheran, you know, won the National High School Invitational Tournament. And then Jay Sterrett with a bunch of young guys. You know, they graduated Royce Lewis from last year, who's number one overall pick. And Jay Sterrett, they win that Boris Classic South Tournament. Just kind of came out of nowhere and won that thing with a lot of good young players, won some close games, and young players winning close games is pretty darn exciting.
Another young team with an interesting kind of team chemistry going on. And I know a coach down there said he's kind of just kind of let them do their thing. Sometimes a coach has to know when to step back and not necessarily step forward with a certain group of guys.
Exactly. You know, it's always interesting how you're going to handle the young people, you know. But you know, we've got some good, you know, the softball in the Trinity League
yeah,
is pretty good this year. You know, Orange Lutheran and Santa Marvin and Modern Day, they're all the CIF Southern Section Division I top 10. You want to talk about great athletes from the Trinity League, look no further than track and field, where you've got Nikki Merritt, who's running sprints, running hurdles, setting, you know, all sorts of school records left and right in whatever she tries to do. Interesting, her sister Caitlin was you know, the best, the state's top pole vaulter, all right behind Rachel Baxter, but, you know, tops, one of the tops in Orange County. She was amazing. And then her sister runs these sprints and doesn't even want to try the pole vault, and I don't blame her. That looks like a crazy event to me. And then you've got the hurdler over at Santa Margarita, Blake Hennessey, who was unable to run early because of a thigh injury issue, and now he's just flying. You know, won over at the Mount SAC event not too long ago. And then the brother and sister act of Modern Day, Ruotolo, they're amazing runners as well. And then Tommy Brown, who we talked about, is the great offensive tackle of Modern Day. He's one of the top county throwers in the shot put and the discus. Now, Tommy's whole gig this year was to try and beat his father's shot put record at Modern Day. His dad is Vince Brown.
Vince Brown,
football
yep.
coach at Foothill. He's not going to get his father's record. And his father could not be happier. They've been at each other, challenging each other. Tommy's been saying, I'm going to get it this year. Dad says, no way. You're not touching it. You know, Tommy's going to have to step up a little bit here if he's going to go for that record. He's not that far off, a couple feet away, but those last 2 feet sometimes, it's like a 3-foot putt. It's the hardest thing to do.
Well, and you and I both know where Tommy got his competitiveness from, because nobody more competitive on a baseball field than Vince Brown over the years.
Pretty hilarious, too, because I covered a game with Vince, and Vince has mellowed out a lot. But maybe not quite as much as everybody would like to think.
Those competitive juices are still flowing, I guarantee.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So we wrap up a great year once again in the Trinity. What are some of the couple things you're looking forward to? Maybe that you're going to be writing about over the summer and looking forward to as we look forward to another fall season and what's going to be start to be another great football season, I would imagine.
You know, see where all the transfers line up. You know, people are transferring. You know, and a lot of people think it's distasteful, and you know, I'm not a huge fan of it. But you know, if people think that there's a better situation out there, they're going to go for it. Whether they're an adult looking for a different job or better community to live in, or an athlete, and especially his parents who think there's a better chance to get a CF ring or a scholarship if I go to that school or this school. So that'll be interesting. And in basketball, you know, we're talking about, we didn't mention Santa Margarita had a really good year, but they're going to be really good next year because they got two really good players coming back. Jake Kyman, who looks like the best returning basketball player next year, will be a senior, getting recruited by everybody in the world, USC, Max Agbonpolo, who just committed recently, I think, to USC, if my memory's good. And he is a star in the making. I don't think he's really scratched the surface of how good Max Agbonpolo can be. So they're going to be outstanding, too. And then, you know, Modern Days had a good group of freshmen this year led by Biesenbach. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how good he can get and how good that Modern Day team will be next year. But it's going to be fascinating to see what happens.
I'm glad you brought that up because I've been so impressed with the job Jeff Reinhardt's done over at Santa Margarita, putting that program, you know, kind of back together there. Right. Santa Margarita, I think, is ready to really burst onto the scene here as one of those top Southern California powers here. I think they could really be on the verge of that.
Yeah. And Max Agbonpolo, I just pulled up my note here. He has not, he's not committed yet, but USC offered him. So that's where I got the USC thing there. But he's 6'7". He can jump and he's become a better shooter. He's going to be a very exciting player. To watch go. Watch out for some transfers, you know, all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Basketball as well. I think that we may see a Korean Lutheran player or two from their Seattle championship team this past year with the coach Josh Beatty having been moved out over at Korean Lutheran. May see a couple players have decide to pack up and maybe move. And so, you know, that's something that everybody's going to want to keep an eye on, you know, among my OC varsity teammates, because, you know, we'll be on top of that if some of this movement happens.
Yeah, it's crazy. And once again, Steve Fryer joining us, Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com. I wanted to ask you about the Southern Section's, decision to pretty much just do away with the whole transfer thing. If you want to transfer, go ahead and transfer. No more athletically motivated, quote-unquote. You think it was the right decision?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things the CF Southern Section is kind of weary of being in court with lawsuits all the time because they ruled that kid was not going to be athletically eligible when he went from school A to school B. They weren't winning those lawsuits too much. They weren't doing so well in that regard. And so, you know, athletically motivated, well, it looks like every transfer that could be viewed as athletically motivated 90% or 9%, you know. So where do you draw that line between, and how do you know? And so basically the CIF has decided we can only do so much. And the CIF organization, too, which a lot of people sort of don't understand, the CIF organization is very school-oriented. Schools run the whole thing. They're self-disciplining, self-governing. The rules come from the schools. They come up with the proposals, bring them to the CIF council meeting, which is made up of league representatives. Everything is – all the rules are made pretty much by the schools in the CIF constitution. So they just felt like they just couldn't they were swimming upstream really hard trying to control the transfer thing. Schools got to figure out how to manage it themselves. Kids are going to move, and there really was so much, only so much that the CIS could do about it legally and logistically.
Last couple of minutes with Steve Fryer of the Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com. We have a first-round NFL draft pick out of the Trinity League, Josh Rosen, quarterback from St. John Bosco High School. I know you got a chance to see him a lot over his time at Bosco. How impressed are you with what Josh Rosen did? You know, obviously, at UCLA, he was a bit of a polarizing figure at times, but this is a kid with a lot of talent and a big future in front of him.
Yeah, I think when he got drafted, and he, you know, kind of chided the nine teams that passed him up, that was not the best thing he could have done. I mean, I get it, you know, you're motivated and all that stuff, but sometimes things, better things are left unsaid, and you learn that as you get older, and Josh will probably figure that out as he gets older too. But as a player, man, he's got a gun and a half, and I heard somebody on the radio describe him as being a lot like Aaron Rodgers in terms of his body style, how he throws, the whole bit. Yeah, I can see that. That's a pretty cool comparison. I like that comparison.
Yeah.
So I can see Josh, you know, doing super well. He just looks the part of a great NFL quarterback, doesn't he? Doesn't have, you know, Bobby, he's got the arm, he's got the stature. You know, I think he's cocky enough.
Right. I was just going to get a little of that swagger too, you know?
Yeah, you got to have some of that. You're going to play in the NFL. And if you're going to succeed in anything, you got to have, you know, some amount of self-confidence, but especially in something as rugged as, you know, being the quarterback in the NFL. Holy mackerel, man. You got to have some swagger. That's a good word.
Yeah, Josh has never lacked confidence. That's for sure. Going back to his high school days. For him. That's, you got to be confident in what you're going to do. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think he's going to be interesting to watch to see how he goes. I wish him well. And the guy who knows him, who I know well, who knows Josh well, is Jason Nagler, the football coach at St. John Bosco. He thinks Josh is just fine. He's cool kid. He's kind of a funny guy, a little bit different, you know. Maybe he's only surfing the biggest waves. He's not going out when the waves are small. So he's a really, really self-confident guy, and I hope he does well. When I talked to him a couple of times, he always smiled and shook my hand, looked in the eye. I dug him. He's cool.
And speaking of state champion Trinity League quarterbacks, Johnny Stanton, we found out today, signed to a contract to go into camp with the Minnesota Vikings. And so maybe people haven't heard from Johnny in a while. He's kind of bounced around a little bit, Nebraska to UNLV, and maybe going to play four or five different positions. He's trying out it. But good to see Johnny get a chance here as well to maybe have a pro career.
He's a great athlete, and when he was playing at Margarita, he could run it, he could throw it, really had all those leadership qualities. He's going to give you 100%. And, you know, if he's trying to play whatever position, receiver, you know, safety, special teams, whatever, Johnny Stanton's going to give it 100%. And if somebody gives him a chance and they find out that the dude's a total gamer, which they're going to find out, if all they got to do is give him a shot, somebody's going to be very happy that they had added Johnny Stanton to their roster.
Yeah, so true. Hey, Steve, want to thank you for joining us again, kind of going back through the Trinity League this season. I know it was a lot of fun for me to cover. I'm certainly was a lot of fun for you to cover as well. And we'll convene this all again in the fall when we start another great football season.
It's just going to be an exciting year. I'm already pumped up.
I'm
pumped up, Bob.
I know, right? We're looking forward to it. Let's start the season now, definitely. Exactly. Steve, thanks again for joining us. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, bud. God bless you.
Yeah, same to you. That's Steve Fryer of the Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com. Of course, check out all the great work they do at OC Varsity. We'll have another break here on Catholic Sports View, and we'll be back with much more right after this. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Acclaimed actress Kristen Jasek brings her inspiring play entitled Person to Person to the Freed Theater at Christ Cathedral on May 31st and June 1st at 7 p.m. This critically acclaimed production animates the life and mission of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Tickets are available at motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com or by calling 714-282-3045, 714-282-3045.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Let's welcome into the program Nikki Merritt. She is a track and field standout at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. Nikki, thanks for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been quite a season for you, and it's been quite a couple of weeks. You broke some records. You've been on a torrid pace here as the weather's starting to heat up across Orange County here. How much fun are you having out on the track right now?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. This point in the season is definitely the most exciting, coming up on the bigger meets, the CIF meets and Masters and States. It's definitely the most exciting point in the season, and so I'm just excited to see where it goes.
Well, at the Trinity League preliminaries the other day, you had quite a time in the let's start out with your hurdles, right? The 100 hurdles and mm-hmm. best time in Orange County this year, top 5 time in the state, and one of the top 25 marks in the country. Did any of this surprise you, or did you know you were kind of building up to be able to do this and have this kind of a day?
I definitely knew it was building up. It did surprise me to see that number at this point in the season. I did just, I actually ended up switching my blocks. I've been trying out different steps to the first hurdle, so I ended up switching my blocks, and that was my first time trying back at 8 steps. So with that change, I wasn't exactly sure what the time was going to give me, but it definitely obviously paid off, and I was really happy with that. I've been working really hard on staying lower to the hurdle and just focusing on being a sprinter, as my coach says, in between each hurdle. So definitely all that hard work has been paying off.
13.97 was your time. Only the third athlete in county history to ever to run a sub-14. What was going through your mind when you saw that number pop up?
Honestly, I was a little bit shocked when I saw it. Again, wasn't really expecting that. I've been hoping to get back into the low 14s as I did last year. I was hoping for maybe a 14.1, 14.2. So as soon as I saw that number pop up on the board, I was a little bit shocked, and I was just so excited. And I'm hoping that I can continue to drop that through the rest of the season.
Then you do the 400 in what, 11.82 was your time there, the top time in the county this year, and sixth in the state. At this point, are you just kind of feeling like the adrenaline's kind of helping you out as you're going through?
Yeah, adrenaline definitely does contribute to those times for sure, especially in these bigger meets, knowing that you have such great competition around you. The adrenaline definitely kicks in and helps with those times. But for the Open 100, that's a new event to me this year, so I've been really working on the tactics and how to actually run that race. And I've been working a lot on my starts the past couple of weeks, so I think that really contributed to that time.
And then you go to what is probably your best event, right, which is the 300 hurdles, and then 42.23, top mark in the county, top mark in the state, number 4 in the nation this year. At that point, you had to know, hey, this is a special day for sure, right?
Yeah, for sure.
How do you wrap up the entire day, the whole experience? Just tell us what that feeling was like to have gone through the entire day and have had that special time doing that.
Yeah, it was definitely a really special day. Actually, after my 100, the second event of the day, my coach came up to me and he said, "That's 2, let's get one more." So he was referencing the school and track records. And so just hearing that and knowing that I've been working really hard for this all season and all preseason as well, I just wanted to go out there, and knowing that this was the second to last, actually, meet that I'll ever have on my home track, I knew that I just wanted to give it my all. I've been working really hard on getting out as fast as I can in the 300 hurdles, because I've learned that no matter what, it's going to hurt at the end, and it's going to be hard to push yourself, so you just have to It's one of those races that you just have to get after it. And so knowing that, I just went into the race knowing that I needed to take it out hard and just give it my all and try and finish out the day as strong as it started.
Nikki Merritt joining us. She was the track athlete of the year a year ago, and definitely in the running, of course, again this year to claim that same honor. Oh, of course, it's quite a story, and it's quite a career you've had, obviously, at Santa Margarita. You mentioned coach just a minute ago. Talk about your coaches there at Santa Margarita and how they've helped you get to this point.
Yeah, I owe so much of my accomplishments to my coaches. I work with both Coach Dave Zeitler and his son, Coach Sean Zeitler. So I've actually been working with Coach Dave since before I started freshman year. I started hurdling with him over the summer, actually. And so he's primarily the hurdles coach. And he's been such a great help and through all of this. He's kind of taken me under his wing, and honestly, I would say that both of these coaches almost believe in me more than I believe in myself sometimes. So just knowing that and having their support and encouragement has really helped, along with obviously their knowledge and wisdom of the sport and the workouts that they give us. They've really helped shape me as a person and athlete, and I owe so much to them.
Yeah, no, that's great. And we know what great coaches they are and the great program they've put together there at Santa Margarita over the years. Is there a connection between the events that you run? Is there a method to it? Or were these just the events that when you started out, you were the best in?
Well, again, before freshman year, it was actually my sister was an athlete here before me.
And we're going to talk about Caitlin in a minute. I was going to ask you about her in a minute. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. She did sprints and pole vault. Mm-hmm. And so I actually knew her pole vault coach before high school, and her pole vault coach mentioned hurdling to me. So my mom actually found out about the program that Coach Zeitler runs in the summer, and so I ended up going out to that in the summer, and pretty much immediately Coach Dave told me that I was going to be a hurdler, and that was going to be my primary event in track. And then I kind of followed in my sister's footsteps on the sprints and relays. And so up until this year, basically, I have only run the two hurdle events and then both sprint relays. And this year it's been a little bit different. I've been able to explore some more individual events, and I got to run the Open 100 and the Open 200 a little bit more, which is different. So it's just kind of getting to experiment a little bit this year, which was really cool. But yes, I primarily run both the hurdles and then the relays.
And then you mentioned your sister, Caitlin, of course, who yeah. if the Merritt name sounds familiar, it's because she was a standout pole vaulter, one of the best in the state and one of the best in the nation during her time at Santa Margarita. Was there ever a time you thought you might follow completely in her footsteps and be a pole vaulter?
I did give pole vaulting a try for a couple of months. I just found that I wasn't quite as passionate about her. She was always so excited and looking for different opportunities to go out and pole vault, and I didn't find the same exact love for it that she had. So I knew that maybe that wasn't my event, but I knew that track in general was definitely something I wanted to pursue. So I found my passion in both sprints and hurdles.
Now, I know when I interviewed your sister a couple of years back, you know, she had a background in gymnastics, correct?
Yes.
So did you have that same background, you know, coming into track and field from a gymnastics background?
I did. I did competitive gymnastics for 9 years before track. And I actually also played tennis in between there.
How important was that? I would think that kind of goes hand in hand between those two sports.
Yeah, I definitely think that having a gymnastics background helped a lot with, honestly, any sport, especially coming into track. It definitely taught a discipline and taught me how much hard work really pays off. And it taught me that you get out what you put into something. And so that definitely helped me going into any sport, especially track, because it helped give me a foundation in both mental and physical discipline and understanding what hard work can do.
Nikki Merritt joining us this week on Catholic Sports View, one of the top track and field athletes in all of Orange County and all of the state, as a matter of fact, as her the Trinity League prelims certainly showed. So you're ready for the finals now and then to see what state has to offer in about a month from now, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely really excited to see what's coming for the rest of the season.
Do you feel like you're, obviously, you know, in any sport, you want to be hitting your stride and hitting your best up at the end of the year, right? You want to be coming around towards the end of the year. You feel like, obviously, you got to be at that spot right now.
Yeah, we're definitely, again, I owe this to the coaches. They're the ones that have figured all of this out. They know exactly when to taper and what will benefit you in different events. And this is the fourth year, so I've been lucky enough to work with them since freshman year, and that was their first year as the girls' coaches. So they've definitely learned through the years when is the best point in season to start tapering, and they definitely have it down to a science for sure.
How has your entire time been at Santa Margarita? I mean, it's obviously, you know, it's the term student athlete, and you take that seriously. Well, you got a 4.73 grade point average, so, you know, obviously it's you've been able to strike the tenor between being a great student and a great athlete. I got to think, obviously you've earned it. Santa Margarita has, you know, been a great home to you for 4 years here.
Yeah, it's been really great. It's helped me grow in so many different aspects of my life. It's helped me grow in faith, in academics, and in sports. And it's honestly just a really great overall school. It gives the option of pursuing any passion you have. I'm also a part of performing arts here. I'm in the choir. So it's just given me so many opportunities I didn't know that I would ever have the option of having.
You mentioned faith. How much have you leaned on your faith, during your time? And how does that help you when you're on the track?
It definitely helps a lot, especially at a Catholic school, knowing that we share this faith with everyone else around us in the track team. We make it a point to pray every day before practice and every day before we have a meet, and also before every event. And it definitely just kind of gives us confidence knowing that there's a greater power above us, and that we have this strength within us that's given to us, and knowing that everything happens for a reason and that there's a plan and there's a method to the madness.
Do you have a special prayer you say before you run? Is there something special to you?
We always say the Our Father before or at the end of every prayer we say, but honestly, it completely depends on the day and what we're feeling that day and what we think is necessary to think and feel before our race. And so each time a different person honestly says the prayer, whoever feels that they need to hear, whatever they need to hear, or whether or not they need someone else to pray for them. It just completely depends on the day.
Yeah, Nikki Merritt is our guest this week on Catholic Sports View, track standout at Santa Margarita. And if you get a chance to get out to a track meet, definitely get out and see Santa Margarita. The entire team having one heck of a year. Now, your parents both went to Stanford. Caitlin decided she was going to go to Stanford. You had to be different, right?
Yeah, actually, my entire family, I also have an older brother, and he also ended up at Stanford.
Uh-oh. I'm sure everyone just thought, well, of course you're going to go to Stanford, right?
I think that might have been it. People are a little bit shocked when they hear it, but honestly, I found my home at Duke. Obviously, I haven't been there yet, but on my visits, I got the opportunity to visit three great schools. I got to visit Stanford, Yale, and Duke, and they were all really great, and they all had things that I loved about them, but Duke honestly just encompassed all of them. I found that I fit in really well with the team, and obviously it's an academically rigorous school, which is very important to me. So it just kind of fit everything that I wanted in a college.
Well, we know they have a great medical program there, and that's part of what you want to study when you're there, right?
Right. I'm thinking of going into physical therapy. I'm not 100% sure. It could definitely change.
Okay. Well, you never know, right? Yeah, that's what college is for.
I'm going to explore my options when I go there. But as of right now, yeah, I'm looking into something in the medical field, most likely.
Well, if you're down to Duke, Yale, and Stanford, you really can't make a bad choice, right? Those are three pretty good schools, right?
Right.
But I imagine the family's happy for you, right? Everybody's happy that you made your choice and that you're ready to move on.
Yep. Everyone's very happy with it.
So what are your goals now? Obviously, I mentioned the league finals, and then, of course, state is around the corner. You'll go up north and compete up there, up in that meet. What are the goals you set for yourself now? Have those goals changed a little bit because of what you accomplished in the prelims?
I mean, from the very beginning, state is obviously the ultimate goal for anyone in track. But I personally try and focus more on the times and personal achievements rather than just making it to the different meets. Definitely state is the ultimate goal, but I'm just looking to continue dropping my times and just, I'm already very happy with where I'm at now. But knowing that I've accomplished so much to this point in the season, I'm really excited to see where it can take me. And hopefully state finals are in the future.
Well, I got a good feeling for you, Nikki. I think you're going to do well, we know you're headed to bigger and better things as well. We want to thank you for joining us this week. We wish you luck, and we'll be following you as you get through the league finals and then on to state. We'll be cheering for you.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's Nikki Merritt, track and field standout at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. And we'll have much more right here on the show when we come back. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. In an increasingly secular and strained world, Catholic schools provide a safe and secure education environment with faith and family at its core. Our students are instilled with profound faith, deep humility, and inspiring integrity that they will carry with them. Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools.
Back to Catholic Sports View. We welcome in the head lacrosse coach at Servite High School, and that is Tom O'Leary. Coach, thanks for taking a couple minutes to talk some lacrosse with us here.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a sport, we've covered it here on the show for a couple of years now. It's a sport that really has taken off here in Southern California. Are you surprised at all of how quickly lacrosse has kind of caught on here in Orange County and in Southern California?
I think it crept in basically from the San Diego areas and the Northern California areas. I remember my father coming out. He was a coach in the late 90s in New York where I grew up, and he came out here and they were playing teams down in San Diego. So it slowly crept into Orange County. I've been here for about 10 years, and most of my career out here has been at Servite, but you just see the sport growing and blossoming out in the Inland Empire areas now as it's slowly starting to reach its way out of Orange County.
It's funny, New York is really where the sport, blossoms so much, and when people think of lacrosse, they think of, those great Syracuse teams, obviously, in New York and all that. You grew up with it. Was it a natural for you to take up lacrosse as a kid?
It's everywhere you go around New York. It's great to see, kids going back east and going to visit family. You see kids carrying sticks around, riding their bikes with sticks on their backs and everything. New England, New York, and the Maryland area are three big hotbeds back in on the East Coast, and growing up in Long Island, my father coached growing up. I really didn't start playing competitively until high school. I always had a stick in my hand growing up, playing catch with my dad, but never really had interest in doing it competitively until I got to high school. I grew up playing soccer. My dad was a soccer coach and a lacrosse coach, so I sort of picked up the other sport from him once I got into high school as a freshman.
Tom O'Leary, the head lacrosse coach at Servite High School, joining us this week on the program. You mentioned soccer kids. Is that a natural to maybe take kids that played soccer and say, hey, come out and try this sport now?
I mean, it's a huge crossover sport. Lacrosse is, I should say. Back east, soccer was a fall sport. Out here, it's a winter sport, but they still work together very well. I mean, lacrosse is a good mix between basketball, football, and any other sport. You can get hockey, wrestling. I mean, you get huge crossover players, and a lot of that symmetry from those sports can benefit lacrosse player, even if you've never played before. The hockey concepts, the wrestling concepts, quick on the whistles. We also like to have the kids watch, NCAA basketball once it comes March Madness, because the offensive defensive mindset is a huge crossover to lacrosse.
Is it a tough sport to pick up if you're coming to it brand new?
I think the catching and throwing, the fundamental base of the sport, is the most challenging aspect. You can get a top-notch athlete on the field, but if they can't catch and throw, it's a huge disadvantage to that one person. It really takes a lot of dedication to spend time on the wall, what we call wall ball. I mean, you got to spend time by yourself, with your headphones in and working on your left and right hand. We often test our varsity guys to make that cut in the fall to make sure, the right and left hand is both as equal as possible. But I think newer players have the advantage over more experienced players because they have the advantage to start, fresh with both left and right, as opposed to guys who've played the sport for a while who maybe you know, right dominant or left dominant.
Yeah, it's you mentioned the sport really, you know, a big following in San Diego, up north a little bit. City section has a little bit of a following there, some of the southern section schools in L.A. But really, and it was Foothill High School in Orange County, Coach Fox over there, that I think kind of put it on the map Orange County-wise. That was big to get the sport, you know, kind of growing here, and it has grown, as I mentioned, so much. Do we still see more room for it to grow here?
Absolutely. I mean, there's been talks of possibly pushing CIF in the next couple of years. The big hurdle we've had to overcome is the amount of schools that offer lacrosse.
Right.
Now, that often holds us back, but I heard rumors of the CIF looking to push it through, and that would be probably the only sport in the next couple of years that would actually go CIF. But we're very excited for that because we feel Orange County has a great level of competition that we can offer both L.A., San Diego, and Northern California as well. But, you know, Coach Fox has been doing a phenomenal job over at Foothill, and you always try and play them at a certain point during the season. This year we didn't get the opportunity to, but, you know, in order to move up in the ranks and in order to become a better team, you got to play the better teams in the area. And, you know, if you're looking to go to playoffs anyways, you're eventually going to go through Foothill, St. Margaret's, you know, CDM, and any one of those good programs.
Obviously, there's no lack of great athletes at Servite. I mean, you know, great athletes are around that whole campus, as you know. Are you finding kids who are specifically, you know, maybe coming to school to play lacrosse rather than just, oh, maybe I'll play it because I play football or something else?
No, we've had a really steady stream of athletes coming in the last 5 to 6 years. I've seen. I took the program over in 2010,
yeah.
And probably about 5 years ago, we started having kids coming in from all different areas. I mean, we're kind of a transient program where we don't have a direct feeder system. You know, we have probably 45 to 50 schools that feed into Servite, but that also provides us with kids from anywhere from LA to the Inland Empire to, you know, South County that want to come in and want to, you know, we've had a lot of kids that want to come into play. You know, I got two of my kids going off this year. Peyton Rodenbeck, our head captain's going off to Utah. He came in specifically to play lacrosse. He's at, you know, the Utah's going Division I next year. And Jack Seals, my other senior, is going to play at Stevenson University, which is Division III school back in Maryland. So just two of those guys that came in to focus on lacrosse. They also played different sports, but at a certain time they took a step back and they realized that lacrosse was going to be their main focus and passion.
Tom O'Leary, the head lacrosse coach at Servite High School, joining us on the show this week. You know, you went to you played in college, Southern New Hampshire University. Do you see more opportunities for kids to continue playing lacrosse in college?
Absolutely. You know, I'm very proud that 70% of my seniors go on to play at the next level, you know, whether it be MCLA, D1, D2, D3. You know, there's a lot of focus on kids going to play at the Division I level. You know, Division I is the best. And, you know, you can still find a very great caliber, you know, D2, D3, and even MCLA and club ball program that's highly competitive. We have kids going to Utah, Stevenson, University of Arizona, and Dominican this year. But there's such a there is no ceiling for kids that want to come in and want to focus on going to the next level. It's finding the right school for them first and foremost in terms of academics and what they want to study. And obviously, if there's a program there, you know, that's just a bonus for them.
Are we seeing colleges on the West Coast pick up the sport at all, or is it still, hey, kids are going to have to go east if they want to continue playing the sport in college?
You know, it'll come to a certain time where, you know, the Pac-12 steps in and they have the opportunity for, you know, USC, UCLA, you know, all the other schools along the Western Coast that are going to start picking the sport up and pushing into the NCAA bracket. But for right now, I mean, the closest schools around here that are D2, you know, you got Whittier, or D3, mm-hmm. which is Whittier, just up the road a little bit. You got Notre Dame de Namur, which is up in San Francisco area. They're D2. And the next big stop is Denver, basically, that's D1. And all of a sudden you have Utah that's pulling through next year and pushing. So it is slowly creeping its way out here. And, I mean, you've seen in the past couple of years, you know, Detroit and other schools along the, you know, Midwest that are making that push as well. So it's good to see. But, yeah, I mean, if kids are really focused and they want to go play lacrosse, there are great lacrosse programs around here and on this side of the country. But, you know, if they're looking for big-name schools, you're going to probably be Colorado in terms of Denver and then working your way east.
Your team's had a good season and finishing with a nice finish towards the end of the year. You feel like they're playing their best right now as you head to the postseason?
You know, we scheduled a really tough schedule this year purposely. I mean, it reflects our talent level and the commitment the guys have put in. You know, we're 9-9 right now, moving into playoffs. And, you know, we have a top 10 strength of schedule in all of Southern CIF, and we're very proud of that. You know, we hit our bumps here and there in the beginning, but, you know, as any player should understand here at Servite, you're going to learn a lot more about yourself and the program around you, you know, facing some adversity than you are, you know, you know, scraping teams off the field. So 9-9, you know, we're proud of that. We've pushed really hard and worked really hard to take on some of the tougher teams, not only here, but, you know, we faced a great team from Utah and Brighton. We faced one of the number one and number two team in Arizona. And then we played and beat Mount St. Joe's from Maryland in overtime this year. So some really quality wins for us on some really quality losses as well.
You know, the lacrosse finals, I had a chance to cover it for a couple of years. It's huge. I mean, the crowds show up for it, and it's gotten really be a big event here, hasn't it?
It has. It's a lot of the youth leagues and that level that are really supporting that, you know, playoff system for us, because it's the younger kids that want to see, you know, the older guys. We get one opportunity a year with the Pacific Coast Shootout that GW Mix over at CDM puts on to bring in, you know, top-tier teams, and I think this year was North Carolina and Maryland. And I mean, they packed the place with about 7,000 people. So, you know, the high school playoffs is kind of like almost the next step below that, because there's really not a lot going on in the area outside of Chapman and, you know, Cal State Fullerton. But I mean, for those guys, those are just kind of, you know, common games. For the playoff bracket, that's huge for, you know, youth players to get out and see what juniors, seniors, sophomores, and even freshmen are doing at the varsity level here in Southern California and Orange County. And it kind of gives them some hope that, you know, this is what I can do, and I really got to be focused on this. And a lot of the guys they'll see that are seniors that are playing, you know, for any one of the top four teams that make those, you know, the semifinals and the finals, a lot of those guys are going on to D1, D2, and good club programs. So it's just, it blossoms hope for the younger guys that, all right, this is something I can really focus on. And, you know, we're not asking for everyone to be, you know, solely lacrosse players. We want multi-sport athletes. We want that, you know, that different attitude and that different mindset coming in from football, hockey, basketball, wrestling, whatever they're coming to the table with.
And I know at Servite, that comes from the top. That's an important thing. That comes from Alan Clinton and everybody in the Servite athletic program that, yeah, you know, you want kids who are going to be multi-talented and get out there and play some different things.
Yeah, it's really refreshing to work at a school where, as coaches, we all get along, we all talk, we all, you know, we communicate with when players are here and when players are there. And, you know, that, you know, just because you're a multi-sport athlete doesn't mean half, you know, split the responsibility. It's double the responsibility. You know, you have double the amount of work to do. And, you know, the kids really embrace that mindset of us as coaches respecting, you know, their other sport and embracing that and kind of pushing them to do that. You know, get kids in all the time that playing football, and Troy Thomas just came back and took the program over. And, you know, we had a great relationship before he left for Crespi a couple of years back, but caught up again, and we're right back on the same page in terms of embracing the football and lacrosse relationship here, because, you know, the school and the program can only get stronger from, you know, working together.
Absolutely. Tom O'Leary is the head lacrosse coach at Servite High School. Last couple of minutes with Coach here on Catholic Sports View this week. You know, we talked about it with ice hockey and the fact of getting, you know, some respect, you know, nationally, you know, Southern California teams kind of get respect, you know, on the national circuit as far as ice hockey. We've kind of finding the same thing. Is lacrosse starting to get maybe a little more respect within the rest of the lacrosse community?
You know, it's a tough sport to play. It's not easy. And I feel, you know, some guys are sometimes interested in doing it, but then that hurdle of, you know, the amount of time and commitment it takes to fully commit to the sport and be successful at it, you know, is a hurdle. And it's something, you know, it's a fight or flight mentality for a lot of young men and women. But at this point, you know, we kind of embrace that and we kind of push that on the guys. And the past couple of years, you know, when I first took the program over, we had, you know, over 100 kids in the program. And then since then, we've cut that in half. You know, we really want the kids that are going to be dedicated to not only doing their other multi-sport, but staying committed to the basis of the fundamental basis of the sport. And that includes, you know, putting in your own time and your outside desire, your work away from Servite to get better and improve yourself. You know, here at Servite, we call that master of self. And I mean, that's something that I can't do. I can't go and pick the stick up for the young man and work on his fundamentals. You know, the necessity of other is me teaching X's and O's. And that's something that I love to do. So, you know, together, you know, we make that work. And I feel the respect factor comes from just people coming out and watching and understanding how much work and how much time and commitment needs to go into this sport. But I really do feel that we're very supported here from the administration all the way through the student body. And it just comes from them coming out to a game and seeing like how much running they got to do and how physical the sport is. So, no, it's great to see, and I'm really happy to be a part of Servite for this long and growing the program even more from here on out.
Yeah, and we know what a great school Servite is and what a great athletic program it is as well. Coach, we want to wish you luck. We know all you want is a seat at the table in the postseason. You've got one, and you've got a chance to do some more special things this season. Good luck. We wish you luck, and we'll be following you throughout this postseason.
All right. Greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thanks again. That's Coach Tom O'Leary, the lacrosse coach at Servite High School. Well, that'll wrap up the show for this week. I want to thank my guests, Tom O'Leary, Nikki Merritt, and, of course, Steve Fryer with the Orange County Register. You can reach us at CatholicSportsView@gmail.com. That is our email. And then CatholicSV@CatholicSV is our Twitter handle. And follow us on there as well. Lots of great stuff. We're always interacting with everybody on Twitter as well. Drop us a line. Let us know how we're doing. You got any ideas for stories or anything you'd like to see here on the show? Just let us know. Thank you for joining us once again. I am Bob Gibson, and we'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith.